Hello everyone, nice to do my first podcast with you guys today. This station on podcast is just basically to talk about autoimmune diseases, the symptoms. Since we don't know the causes yet, all we can do is talk about the symptoms and the treatments, the diets, the activities, the extraordinary stories that people are doing with their lives despite the autoimmune disease to help encourage others, and what we can do to alleviate the symptoms when it comes to dizziness, fatigue, allergies, dry mouth, and different ways to go around things, because we all know that we're probably all in medicine that can alleviate the symptoms, but these medicines have side effects as well, and it's always hard to tell. I know for me whether a medicine is working or not working, whether it's making things better or worse, or contributing to new symptoms that we have. I got diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome in 2019 with symptoms that seemed to be just like a stomach flu. I was tired, my stomach felt sick. I thought I was just being fatigued and dehydrated and probably needed more food, vitamins, hydration, Gatorade, maybe, etc. And I didn't think anything was really wrong with me because everything was working fine. I could walk, I can talk, I can see. I was coordinated. And my dad actually tells a different story, saying that you were just tossed on the bed. You were seemed to be overly tired, overly exhausted. You weren't really responding that well to certain questions. You were trying your best to make it to the bathroom with stumbling and maybe like gripping onto walls and things. And I just thought, okay, yeah, that might have been true. But I just remember being tired and sick. And I thought to myself, I'm just dehydrated. I just need to drink water. I need to get over the flu. I just need soup. So then my father actually went to go get soup, Gatorade, and said, just try to keep things down. I don't remember ever vomiting being in the bathroom for other reasons for too long. Everybody I spoke to, my friends and family, just said you were complaining about your stomach feeling sick and being in the bathroom and nothing happening in the bathroom to alleviate your illness or make anything better, and talking about medicine and rest. And I took that as stomach flu with no temperature. And then I guess like another day went by, I was just tossed on the bed. Of course, my dad that I lived with at the time went to work, and he said every time I came back home, you were just on the bed, tossed asleep, only waking up for a few minutes, going back to sleep. He said, I thought maybe you just didn't sleep at night, or I thought maybe you went out with your friends and, you know, weren't feeling good the next day. And then I guess the day three finally came around, and I don't remember anything of that day. So I can tell you now that symptoms were getting pretty bad, and obviously the disease was traveling. And I always find it weird because nobody in my family has ever had autoimmune disease, especially Guillain-Barré. And nobody knows where it comes from. They figure the stomach virus triggered the immune system to go haywire and then for it to attack me instead of the disease. I mean, the flu itself. And so day three comes along, and I couldn't get out of bed at all. I actually asked my dad to bring me a bucket or like a porta potty so I can go to the bathroom. And he thought that was really weird. He goes, look, if you can't make it to your bathroom and you have to go to the bathroom, he goes, I recommend we go to the emergency room so they can find out what your, you know, what's causing all this and what your problem is, and maybe hydrate you or do whatever it takes to get you back on your feet again. And I said, no, I can make it to the bathroom. And then I didn't go to the bathroom because I literally couldn't even get out of bed anymore. My strength was gone. My coordination was gone. I couldn't even sit up straight anymore. And my vision, I told them, was acting really weird. And I just thought dehydration again. I just thought it was the flu again. I thought I needed better glasses. And then so I said, I see double. I see blurry. I can't see right. And then he said, okay, well, you know what? Let's go to the ER. And of course, I said, I don't have to. Then as the night started to approach, I had a dream that I had to go to the ER. Like, there was no more time to fool around anymore. And I actually woke up from the dream. Maybe I was, like, telling myself subconsciously, like, dude, you're sick. There's something wrong with you. Get up and go. And then I called out for my dad and said, I'm ready to go to the ER now. I feel like I'm ready. So something is wrong. And then he said, all right, let's go. So then I got up. I tried to get off my bed, like how you swing your legs around. And I managed to do that okay. And then as I tried to stand up on them, that's when I realized I had no more strength to even stand up. And I collapsed on the floor. My legs were like noodles. They didn't work anymore. I don't remember if I could even feel them. I don't remember any of that. And I suppose I can feel them, but I can't be sure. I just know they didn't work anymore. And just like that, within 3 days, my legs go from being weak to just not working. And no prior symptoms of anything aside from 3 days before that, my felt like I had a stomach flu. And then, of course, we rushed to the ER, and they didn't really know what was going on. So they ran all these tests. They went from even questioning me, do you feel abused? Do you feel this? Do you feel that? Do you have a good diet? Are you hydrated? Do you have water at your house? Is somebody hurting you at your house? And of course, all that, those questions and all these tests that are being performed take hours. And they took blood, they took an MRI, they did a scan of my legs and everything. And I was probably in the ER from about 8 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning. And it was a miracle. The doctor had told my dad, it's a miracle that nobody has come in except for one intoxicated lady to disturb me while I'm trying to figure out what's going on with your daughter. And so I either got lucky or blessed or something to you know, have no distractions when the doctor was trying to figure out what was wrong with me. So after 6 hours, the doctor comes in and says, I know you guys have never heard of this, and you probably never will, unless somebody is being affected by it that you know, but I'm going to diagnose her with Guillain-Barré syndrome. It's an autoimmune disease. And of course, my father didn't really know what any of that meant. Because autoimmune disease, like I said, in my family is like a rare diagnosis because nobody's ever been diagnosed with anything like this. And of course, I like to be the first to do things in the family, but I definitely didn't want to be the first to do this. And so he said, we're going to put you in the hospital and they're going to treat you from there on. And if they want to diagnose you with something different, that's fine too. This is just an emergency diagnosis. And so we went with that, no problem. And then they took me to the hospital. They ran every test again. They couldn't find a reason to diagnose me with anything different. They didn't see any tumors in my brain or anything to be causing these symptoms of being paralyzed all of a sudden. And not walking, and not being able to see right, not being able to talk right, not being coordinated. And later, after several years of having this disease, finally at a bigger hospital, they told me I had a lesion in the brainstem that healed since I've been diagnosed with it. And that's probably what caused all these symptoms, that the disease was actually traveling in my body, but went up my spine, I guess, and into the brainstem. And luckily, there was only a lesion in there, and I healed from it. And I obviously, I'm still trying to recuperate and experience some symptoms that are still very aggravating and prevent me from doing many things in life, like certain jobs I want to do, certain activities I want to do, certain majors I would like to go into graduate school for. But, you know, all you can do is try your best and never give up. And in the hospital, though, I think I was in there for 2 weeks, and they were making sure I wasn't going to progress into not being able to breathe, and for the disease to progress, like, further into the brain itself, or in the lungs, or in the heart. And I don't feel like obviously I comprehend everything, but I don't feel like it's actually the fear of all these things has actually even hit me. Because after all these years, like 4.5 years later, people go, God, that's so scary. Oh my God, that's terrifying. But to me, it's like, I don't really feel afraid of it, I guess because it happened and, you know, there's nothing you can do to stop it except for the treatment that they give you, which is most likely IVIG. There's even a, I think a blood transfer they can do with you if they need to somehow put better blood in you or better antibodies in your bloodstream. I think it's like plasmapheresis. They can also do that for people with Guillain-Barré. I'm not sure if any other autoimmune disease requires IVIG or plasmapheresis. I know there's a lot of treatments out even for MS that's very similar to Guillain-Barré. They're like evil cousins to each other. So my symptoms definitely are very much alike to MS. But MS progresses where somebody gets worse and Guillain-Barré is supposed to be getting better. It's taken me a long time because I have chronic inflammation as well. They discovered that by doing a spinal tap on me. And they still, you know, Guillain-Barré doesn't go anywhere, so I still have that. But they do say that I have chronic inflammation in many parts of my body, which makes things hard to do whenever they want to get hard. So your body, depending, I guess, what you're under, if you're under stress, or you're tired, or your diet's bad, or you're not hydrated enough, or you're, you know, wearing yourself too thin or something, then symptoms can increase or be aggravated. I don't feel like I've had a relapse yet. I don't even know if relapses are common for many people with Guillain-Barré syndrome. But I do know other diseases like MS that you can have relapses, even mild ones that can be triggered by certain events that happen in life, or if you get a flu or a cold. I haven't been sick with a flu or, thank God, nothing like COVID yet. Due to the fact that I think I still have to get the IVIG treatment, I have had a cold before, and it was a common cold, and luckily it didn't trigger any relapse. I took regular over-the-counter medicine, and my neurologist said that would be like the best thing to do in a situation like that. And to just write it out. And so I wrote out the cold, and it only lasted about like 3 days because I think of my IVIG infusion. And so it's good when something like that definitely is in your body all the time and helps with your strength, helps improve your symptoms, and even give you a touch of more energy, I think, because it decreases the inflammation as well in your body. And it could make you feel energetic, more able to do things. So something like that is annoying to have to be getting all the time. But it definitely pays off when you feel like it's a chore to get out of bed. And I know anybody out there that's sick with autoimmune disease or any type of cancer or debilitating disease, that the simplest things in life can definitely feel like chores. Whether it's washing your dishes, you wonder why it hurts to stand so long. And your joints, your knees, your ankles, your muscles, your thighs, maybe your back, your hips. And then as you're washing the dishes, You feel like, why does my elbow hurt so much? Why does my wrist hurt so much? And a lot of that could be due to, obviously, your muscles not being worked out enough, or your nerves still trying to heal from the demyelination of the nerve, or even the fact that there's inflammation in your joints or within your nerves or muscles that can contribute to these simple tasks feeling like chores. And that's when you know you need the infusion. Other than that, sometimes people with like MS, I know you guys suffer from the same things as people with cancer. I know when you know your body's like beating itself up all the time. And when you have the chemo, when you have the radiation, it wears you out. And I had to go through a lot, not because I had cancer, but because my grandma had cancer and I was trying to take care of her. Even in my condition, I was trying to take care of her. And it wasn't easy because she was 89 years old and definitely had to suffer a lot with that and many other health conditions. But I understand how you guys definitely, it's a challenge every day and takes a lot of patience and courage and strength. But the thing is, like, we understand our negatives. We understand what's going on in our bodies and how much it's unfair and it's not right. And we wish we can just go out and run or swim or do whatever. But we also have to look at the benefits. Like, I'm still alive. Like, I can still do this. I can still do that. Or someone like me, it's like I'm still pursuing graduate school in order to help people that are suffering like me, whether it's in the medical field or psychology field. Because you understand what it's like. So when somebody in the infusion center that I go to is having a bad day and a lot of pain, the nurses try to calm them down and the patient just gets angry, more aggravated. And then I turn around and I say, I know how you feel because this and this and this, or because within 3 days I had to learn how to relive my whole life. And that person might have MS and it might be getting worse, but they still have a chance to go out and hike or go out and swim and go out and run or travel. And I didn't have that chance. And so I try to help people that are going through various diseases, you know, cope with it and deal with it and try to find the benefits and the positive things, even if there's just one. Hang on to that. Don't let it go and keep encouraging yourself with it. I want to continue with my symptoms, how I got diagnosed, how the hospital stay went, how the rehab stay went, and what I'm still coping with. But I would definitely like to hear your guys' comments and see what you think about everything, or sharing your experience or your questions or your advice. So talk to you guys soon. Look forward to interacting.